In certain circumstances, an interest in possession can come to an end whilst the beneficiary is alive. An interest in possession could be terminated under the trust deed. For example, a settlor could set up a trust giving his son a right to income until the son reaches the age of, say, 30. Therefore, at his 30th birthday, the interest in possession will cease. Alternatively, the beneficiary can bring his interest to an end at any time. For example, the beneficiary could transfer the right to income to another person. The IHT treatment of the lifetime cessation of an IIP depends on whether the interest in possession was a qualifying IIP or whether it was relevant property. Looking first at the lifetime cessation of an interest in possession, which was a qualifying IIP. If the qualifying IIP ends during the lifetime of the beneficiary, the cessation of the interest in possession is usually a pet by the life tenant. This is because once the IIP ends, the trust assets are no longer in the beneficiary's estate. Instead, they have moved to someone else's estate. The only exceptions to this are where the qualifying IIP ceases and the assets pass to the beneficiary's spouse, in which case the transfer is exempt, or the qualifying IIP ceases and the assets pass to the life tenant, in which case there is no transfer of value. Where the cessation of a qualifying IIP causes a pet, annual exemptions for the current and preceding year will be available, assuming they have not already been used. Turning next to the lifetime cessation of an interest in possession in a relevant property trust. Where assets leave a relevant property trust, this will give rise to an exit charge. For example, Andrew created an interest in possession trust for his nephew, Bradley, in June 1995. The trust gives Bradley an entitlement to trust income until his 30th birthday. At that point, the capital assets of the trust will pass to Andrew's daughter, Charlotte. Bradley will be 30 on the 4th of April 2011. The IHT implications are as follows. Andrew's original transfer to the IIP trust was a pet, as the trust was set up before March 2006. The trust is a qualifying IIP, so the trust assets would therefore be within Bradley's death estate for IHT. When Bradley becomes 30 in 2011, Bradley's interest in possession ceases and the trust capital passes to Charlotte. The trust assets will now form part of Charlotte's free estate. The cessation of the IIP will be a pet by Bradley. The value of the pet will be the value of the trust assets at April 2011, net of any APR, BPR and available annual exemptions. Charlotte will pay IHT in the event of Bradley's death within 7 years, that is, before April 2018. Looking at another example, David died in August 2007, leaving his estate on interest in possession trust for his wife, Eunice. The terms of the trust give Eunice an entitlement to income for life, with reversion to their two children on Eunice's death. The trust provides for Eunice's interest to terminate on the event of her remarriage. We'll look at the IHT implications if either Eunice dies in March 2011 or Eunice remarries in 2012. The original transfer to the IIP on David's death was exempt from IHT, as the beneficiary with the interest in possession is his spouse. Eunice's IIP is an immediate post-death interest. The trust is therefore a qualifying IIP and the trust assets form part of Eunice's death estate. Therefore, when Eunice dies in March 2011, the qualifying IIP forms part of her death estate. The trust assets will be aggregated with her free estate. The tax will be apportioned between her executors and the IIP trustees. The children will receive the trust assets net of the IHT paid. If Eunice remarries in 2012, her IIP will terminate and the trust assets will pass to the children. This will be a pet by Eunice and the children will pay IHT if Eunice dies within 7 years, that is, before March 2019. There is no exit charge as the assets are not relevant property. To value a qualifying interest in possession for IHT purposes, we apply normal IHT valuation rules. Therefore, quoted shares are valued using the lower of the quarter up or average of bargains rule, and other assets are valued at open market value. Where the deceased and the trustees have similar assets in the free estate and in the qualifying IIP, these must be valued on an aggregated basis, that is, in a similar way to related property. By way of illustration, Mr. A has 40% of the shares of XYZ Limited. Mr. A has an interest in possession in a pre-2006 trust. He therefore has a qualifying IIP. The trustees hold a 20% holding in XYZ Limited. When Mr. A dies, we do not simply take the value of a 40% holding of shares in the free estate and a 20% holding of shares in the qualifying IIP. These shares must be aggregated together such that the value of the shares in the free estate is 40/60 of a 60% holding, and the value of the shares in the trust is the remaining 20/60 of the 60% holding. This way, HMRC ensures that the full value of a 60% shareholding is charged to IHT without the value being diluted. Relief under Section 176 of IHTA will be available where assets valued with other assets for IHT purposes, for example, assets in free estate and as qualifying IIP, are sold within 3 years of death for less than the amount originally charged to inheritance tax. There is special IHT treatment for trusts set up for disabled persons. A disabled persons trust is treated in the same way as an IIP trust made before the 22nd of March 2006. Therefore, the lifetime creation is a PET and the creation on death is chargeable transfer, and the trust will be treated as a qualifying IIP such that the trust property falls within the estate of the disabled beneficiary. The trust will not be subject to exit or principal charges. The above treatment will only apply to disabled persons trusts within the definition in Section 89 IHTA 1984. Under Section 89, the disabled person will not actually have an interest in possession in the trust property. That is, the beneficiary will not be entitled to the annual trust income. However, at least half of the trust property must be applied for the benefit of the disabled person during his lifetime. Next, we will look at interests in possession in A&M trusts. Trust assets are only within the rules for qualifying IIPs if either an interest in possession in those assets came into being before the 22nd of March 2006, or the interest is an immediate post-death interest, or the interest is a transitional serial interest, or the interest is for the benefit of a disabled person. If none of the above apply, the trust assets are relevant property and subject to exit and principal charges. Accumulation and maintenance trusts created before the 22nd of March 2006 were protected from IHT until the 6th of April 2008. Thereafter, such old A&M trusts usually come within the relevant property regime from the 6th of April 2008 and are then subject to exit and principal charges from that date. However, the position is not always straightforward where a beneficiary of an A&M trust is given an interest in possession. Where an A&M trust gives a beneficiary an interest in possession, the treatment of the IIP depends on when it arose. If the IIP arose before the 22nd of March 2006, that part of the trust is a qualifying IIP and does not fall within the relevant property regime. There will therefore be no exit or principal charges. If the IIP arose between the 22nd of March 2006 and the 5th of April 2008, that part of the trust is not a qualifying IIP. Instead, the assets will be relevant property with effect from the date the IIP was acquired, i.e. before the 6th of April 2008. If the IIP arose on or after the 6th of April 2008, that part of the trust is not a qualifying IIP. Instead, the assets will be relevant property with effect from the 6th of April 2008.